This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream. Be afraid. Be very afraid. On Joy 94.9.
Yes, welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. This is show number 98, and welcome to the show. Yes, the countdown is well and truly on its way to 100. That track you heard was called Slide In. It's old. Well, it's from Goldfrapp from 2005 off the Supernature album, and I think she's got some singles coming out shortly, so that's going to be cool. Now, tonight we say FF, Femme Slash, we say Fluff or Waff, we say Yuri or Yaoi, Slash, as I've already mentioned, and we talk about dildos in people's pockets, Harry Potter for one, and all the adventures in Slash and fanfic. Well, sort of. Now, I was meant to have a special guest actually live in the studio this evening, Jules Wilkinson, who has a show on for the wonderful LGBTIQ Midsummer Festival here in Melbourne, Australia. But unfortunately, she hasn't been able to come in this evening. It's a shame, but we will have her back in. She's been on before, an expert in zombie lesbian fiction as well. We do miss her, and we hope that things work out shortly for her. Now, because she couldn't be on the show, I will announce her Midsummer Festival feature that she has, and that is at Hares and Hyenas. It's Saturday the 4th of February, so that's this Saturday at 8 p.m. You can find out heaps more about that on the midsummer.com.au site and find out what it's all about. Now, Jules is a femme slash fanfic author, writer, contributor from way back. And in the little blurb they've got here, she says, "Did Snape tutor Harry in the dark arts of kink? What if Iron Man and Batman met at a beat? Or Eric and Alcide from True Blood were hot for each other rather than Suke?" So Slash takes your favourite characters and reimagines them as queer and having hot sex. So she says, join the mainstream, turn it inside out, upside down, and take a wild ride with a wicked imagination of some of these fanfic writers, including Ash Flanders and Jules, of course, and Emily Turner, who reinvents the cast of Merlin as horny uni students in a share house in Brunswick. There you go. And it features screenings of fan vids that show the hidden gay in films and TV from the 1940s up to recent times. It looks awesome. So if you want to find out a bit more about that show that's on for Midsummer, certainly go on to your internet and go to the Facebook address. You can go to Sci-Fi and Scream, facebook.com/Sci-Fi and Scream, I should say, or you can go to Joy's website to get there as well on joy.org.au. So this evening I'll be playing a couple of interviews. Now, one of them is with a fanfic contributor or writer, and her name is Garlet Bug. That's what her internet identity is. And she'll be talking to us from West Australia about what she thinks fanfic is about and what, where she thinks it's heading to. It has been around for some time, I believe since the 1960s, but certainly with the invent of the internet, it's gone to places that probably couldn't dream of. So a little bit more about that in a moment. But also I'll be talking to Bryony Kidd from Tasmania, part of the Women in Horror series, and they have put together a special festival for later on in February from 17th, 18th and 19th of Feb in Tas, and it's basically women in horror films made by women, not just for women, but including women and women in lead roles. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of gory fun down in the Apple Isle. So up first, we'll have a listen to Georgia or Garlic Bug from WA and her take on what is fanfic. This is Sonia, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. and Scream. This evening it is about the slash, or fanfiction. And I've got someone on the line here to explain to me a little bit more about what that is. And you may want to know, what is this all about and these online communities? So joining me all the way from WA, that's West Australia, is Georgia, otherwise known as Garlic Bug. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thank you very much for having me.
Basically, who is Garlic Bug? Now, that's the name that you prefer to be referred to.
Yes, that's right. That's my internet handle. Yeah, I don't do anything too salacious on the internet. It just makes things a bit easier for me.
Right. Where did you come up with that identity?
It actually came from a nightmare I had, because I kept having dreams about these insects shaped like garlic cloves. And
wow.
That's what I came up with, and it's stuck ever since.
Can you describe to us, for those who don't know, what fanfic or fanfiction is?
Okay. Fanfiction actually covers quite a wide spectrum of databases. It's basically fiction stories written about pre-existing work. It could be about commercial work, like currently running TV series, book, video games, or it could also cover occasionally real people, like music, band, actors, things like that. People usually just think of it as being just stories, you know, short stories or longer novel work. But so if you stretch this definition a bit, it could also include some fan art, drawings based on pre-existing work, or even sort of other things, like there's music that people write, based on these pre-existing universes, and some things that people don't even have, like, proper names for yet. At a basis, it's just people writing stories about other stories that they like, because for whatever reason, they just want to continue the story, or they want to explore something the original didn't cover.
So they're kind of contributing to the story, almost enlarging it into something that's, I guess, embracing their own ideas about that story, is it?
That's right, yes.
It's fascinating. I have had a look online in the past, got caught up on a few things, but haven't for ages, and I don't contribute whatsoever, so it's a bit of a virgin with that kind of thing. What drew you to this kind of, would you call it culture? Online culture or community?
Yeah, sort of a culture in a way. There's sort of, I believe it would have some things that would identify it as a subculture. It sort of definitely has its own lingo and its own conventions and things like that. Yeah, I sort of participate myself, but only in a very, what's the word, I sort of work on the edges. I just a bit of fan art every now and then, and I am working on a fanfic of sort, but it's taking a long time. I do read it a fair bit. It started when I was a lot younger, like more than 10 years ago now.
Right, yeah.
I feel so old. But basically, I played a video game, really like what are called Japanese role-playing games. They sort of have a very different vibe to Western fantasy, you know, it's all high elves and stuff, whereas Japanese role-playing games like Final Fantasy VII, that's a really famous one. But when I really got into it, it just sort of was this new world, nothing like I'd seen before, basically. And even though it's sort of considered a bit cheesy nowadays, the story really grabs my attention, so I want to do more of it. So I went on the internet and I found out that people were writing like sequels and little side stories about this, and I just wanted more of the game. So I started reading them myself and really got into it. And I did try writing a few back then as well. So that was the start, basically. And as I got older, even though my interest in that sort of thing waned, I sort of moved on to different fandom, different work. As far as Flash fandom goes, probably basically when I was young, you know, some people sort of grew up like all open-minded and sort of, you know, they're all cool with homosexuality and everything. And
yeah.
I wasn't one of those people, I have to admit. I was like, I'd sort of go in and see two guys kissing on the screen and I'd be like, ooh, and run off to the other end of the house. As I grew up, I actually found out that people were writing stories like this called Flash Yaoi in the anime fandom. And at first I was scandalized. I mean, how could you do that? Basically, as I sort of grew up and sort of got, you know, a brain and stuff, I noticed when I was searching around that people in Japan were drawing really, really nice Final Fantasy VII artwork, like really absolutely gorgeous, better than the original artwork in some regard, just very beautiful, detailed, distinctive artwork of the characters that I already knew, and often drawing them quite darker in a more intriguing sort of way than the original. And as I looked it up, I realized that this was actually coming from the comic that sort of actually portray them in homosexual relationship with other characters. And so at first I was like, whoa, what's that? This isn't what I signed up for. But I guess that was sort of a gateway into it, sort of realizing that there's this really like intricate artwork that people do. In Japanese fandom, it focuses around what's called doujinshi, is basically Japanese fanzine. They're comic. They can also consist mostly of text as well, but they're often comic of based on anime and video games and stuff like, which often feature romance of one type or another. There's like a bit of a community back then, it was very small, of people outside of Japan sort of buying them, managing to get their hands on them. It was very hard back then, and sort of scanning in examples of the pictures.
Okay, yeah.
So it's sort of like other people sort of experience the sort of view that they hadn't had before. So I sort of saw that, and I started, you know, sort of looking up that sort of artwork, even though I wasn't really sold on the whole men kissing thing yet. But when I first got into Slash, it was, it was a few years later. It was for a book by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. called Good Omens. Books I wrote quite a while ago, a collaboration between the two. It's basically a comedy story about the Antichrist, except there's sort of a mix-up, and the Antichrist ends up growing up as a normal human boy, not as like in a household sort of grooming him to bring about the apocalypse. When it comes time for the end of the world, he has the attitudes of like this 12-year-old boy, and it sort of throws things out a bit for everyone. But two of the pivotal characters are an angel and a demon named Aziraphale and Crowley, and they sort of had built up this relationship over the years. Crowley's actually the one who, the snake, who tempted Adam and Eve, but he just did it as a lark. He didn't actually expect it to sort of, you know, get out of control. And Crowley isn't quite as much of a jerk, might like to think he is. And Aziraphale, even though he's an angel, he's a bit of, like, a bit arrogant and sneaky himself. And they sort of have this neat friendship, sort of quasi-partnership going on. And someone sort of mentioned, hey, don't you think, like, Crowley and Aziraphale would make a good, like, couple? They sort of, like, suit each other pretty well. And I was like, I don't know. But then I read a fanfic about them, and it kind of stuck. It actually did sort of trade as kind of being something that would work for them. That's basically where it started for me.
Hi, this is Greg Capullo, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. And that was Garlic Bug before that. She was talking about slash or fanfic and just about maturity and stuff like that, I guess. Growing up thinking some same-sex fanfiction and fan art can be perhaps a bit uncomfortable for some people, and just learning to adjust to that, adapt to that, and embracing it. She's probably one of the biggest fans I've come across when it came to fanfic. I met her at the Consensual, which was an anime, same-sex anime, actually, convention last year. It was great to meet her and then finally get to chat to her even more, even though it was on the phone, to West Australia. So you might hear it's a little bit rough, that recording. But here's a bit more from Garlic Bug or Georgia. If any of you have your own favourite fan fiction or slash fiction, what do you think about Spock and Kirk getting it together, getting it on online, that is? Well, we can make up whatever we like because the internet is a place we can do that, and thankfully it's still free. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on A Joy 94.9.
I think with fan fiction, it is writing. Like I sort of say to people, fan fiction isn't easy. A lot of authors sort of say, oh, just, you know, practice and anyone can do it, but it's not. That's why there's so much bad fan fiction, because it's really, really, really hard. You have to keep in mind the original characterizations,
of course.
And if you change them, you have to have a good reason and explain it properly. And I think with fan fiction, it's not creating original work so much as laying your own points of view about things. Like, it could be your own points of view about the story itself, or it could be what you feel about things, even if it's just as simple as an erotic fan fiction that sort of explains what tweaks your switch, so to say. I mean, it is writing. It's obviously the act of writing, but it probably is for different purposes than creating an original work would be. I think if you are writing fan fiction just to, become a published author, I guess, if you're doing it just to create an original world to get fans, I think you're probably doing it not for the right reason, because it's more of a communication between fans.
Georgia, you've got some sites that you are very keen about or that you find very useful or helpful. Can you tell us about some of those?
Yes, my own sort of like interests are kind of very specific, and not many people actually write fanfic or fan art for them because they're so obscure. There's like five or so people doing it at any time. Mm-hmm. But I know of a few sort of more general websites, if that would be okay, for fan fiction. The one that's been around for a while is fanfiction.net, but it has a bit of a bad reputation, mostly because it's the go-to site, so there's a lot of not very good fanfic on there.
There are
some gems on there, but you have to spend ages going through it. It's not a bad thing in itself, but it's just the nature of the website. You still are allowed to post some male-male and female-female and etc. stories on there, of course, but it's not a very good environment for it. A site that started up a little while ago is An Archive of Our Own.
Okay.
It was actually started because, I can't remember the exact details right now, but this one company actually tried starting up their own fan fiction website, like an actual commercial company.
Okay.
And they were going to set up, you know, promotions so that people could write, like, actually officially sanctioned fanfic supported by the TV shows, but it was a very dodgy website. It was sort of aimed at the wrong audience, like more younger males and stuff, and it sort of felt like it was kind of co-opting fandom in a way, like, you know, sort of taking it and saying, trying to make money off what was previously a non-profit communicative sort of culture. So
okay.
After that site ended up sort of dying eventually. The good thing that the organization of Transformative Works is doing is actually going back to the really old days. Back GeoCities was like the go-to website hosting service like 10, 15 years ago, and even further back when fanzines were the most popular form of fanfic, and are actually archiving those so that they won't be lost to history. There's Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R.
Yep. Of course, yeah.
Yes, quite a popular website for fans at the moment. I know a lot of fan artists have been using that to publish their works because it's quite useful for publishing pictures, and again, it doesn't have a restriction on adult content.
No, I've noticed that when I've brought it up. I've gone, oopsie, I better put that down.
A lot of fandom activity is based on LiveJournal. It's sort of, there's been a few hiccups with LiveJournal surface, and they're sort of moving elsewhere at the moment, such as to Tumblr. They're also going to a journaling surface called DreamWidth.
Dream, what was it? Dream?
DreamWidth. DreamWidth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of, it's based on LiveJournal's code because it was open source, but it's sort of a service that sort of founded in response to some things that LiveJournal wasn't doing quite right, basically. Mm. They're not directly competing against LiveJournal, even though a lot of people make it sound like that they are. As far as artwork goes, I'm quite a big fan of Pixiv, P-I-X-I-V.
P-I-X-I-Z.
Yes, which is actually a Japanese website. So
okay.
Everything on there is Japanese, which I can barely understand. I sort of have to muddle through it a lot. But that's pretty. It's a very major Japanese art website, which has a lot of fan art and slash and yaoi works on it as well. And that's really quite good if you're more into the anime and video games sort of. Yeah, it's also quite interesting because Japan sort of has their own sort of fandom tropes and conventions as well. So you sort of get an entirely different view on things, I guess.
A moment or two more, and you will be the first live Earth people ever to enter a celestial ship.
This is Sonia on Sci-Fi and Squeam, and that was Garlic Bug before that, talking about her take on fanfic, and she gave some great sites there, which I've managed to put a couple on the Facebook site for Sci-Fi and Squeam. So just go Sci-Fi and Squeam and //, because we've been talking about that. Now, fan fiction is pretty much what literature might be like or look like if it were reinvented by you, the fan. So scratch around and you can find some really interesting stuff out there that's in the internets, all sorts of stuff rewritten, reinvented, gender swapping. There's all sorts of adult stuff as well, so be careful when you do look out there. You might be in for a bit of a shock. There's stuff like being jossed, which refers to any ideas or stories originally from the master himself, Joss Whedon, that's been reinvented again and again, derived from his stories from everything from Buffy the Vampire Slayer to Angel. There's Cryptid, there's Kink, which refers to any elements of a story that some authors or readers find especially pleasing or titillating or squickish. Looking at extreme sexual acts, which can be pretty nasty, to merely mild kinky stuff. There's Mary Sue or Gary Stew, which refers to the presence of any original character that represents an idealized image of the actual author, so they put themselves in there. Not always popular, but there you go. There are sites even called Mary Sue. They're kind of geeky indeed. There's male pregnancy or mpreg, which refers to stories that are made up about male characters who are actually capable of conceiving or carrying children in their own body. It's pretty outlandish, and there are always warnings, so just think of it like this. They're not always great stories, but they're fascinating, and it is, for some people, pretty serious and absorbing. And I guess the Star Trek appeal has always been part of it, with Spock and Alia, the Star Trek fanzine, which is probably one of the oldest. Been around since the 60s, I believe, and particularly in the 70s, sort of built up very strongly a following on the World Wide Web, as it became known later on. Then there's Japanese doujinshi, which is a similar sort of trend where manga novels and video games are reinvented, the characters are reinvented online and that type of thing, and even the video games themselves. All right, well, that was my bit of fanfic. I wish we had time to do more. But next, we have a debut, a very special debut, and it's Vasco. Vasco Myers has joined, for now, the Sci-Fi and Scream team, and he's going to be looking into, gazing into, what's happening in all the cross genres out there at the moment in popular culture. So here it is. This is Sci-Fi and Scream, and this is Vasco Myers on Joy 94.9.
Yes, good evening, listeners. It's Vasco Myers, bringing Ball Gazing with Vasco, On the Box with Vasco, and Between the Covers with Vasco. All things to do, listeners, with sci-fi and horror. Now, Ball Gazing with Vasco, Ball Gazing of the crystal type, may I explain. Rumours and whispers for all things visual. Let's explore what's going to happen in a theatre near you. I wouldn't be alone in thinking 2011 had its share of disappointing movies, but it's 2012 and there are some major movies being released. Yay! First off, Dateline, March 2012, directed by William Brent Bell, The Devil Inside. Now, essential elements are a hospital for the criminally insane, a murderous mother, and a daughter on a quest. Early feedback is not that favourable. Rolling Stone critic Peter Travers has described the ending of The Devil Inside as shocking, only in as much as it is shockingly stupid. This movie's about as profoundly disturbing as a slab of devil's food cake. I'm reminded myself, gentle listener, of Paramount's cost-effective Paranormal Activity franchise and how that rip-off series has turned into gold, yet again evidencing that once those cash registers begin to ka-ching, there seems to be no end to putting a halt to this cinematically demonic banality. If you're desirous of mere serviceability from your cinema fare, then by all means, check out The Devil Inside this March to suck it and see how it tastes. Now, I'm strangely intrigued by zombies, and don't even mention zombie boys, otherwise there could be a bit of a braingasm occurring. Allegedly fab new movie, World War Z, has as its essential elements Brad Pitt, a global zombie pandemic, and, well, they're basically the essential elements, joysters. Mr. Pitt's production company secured film rights in what Paramount hopes will eventually become a trilogy series. Check out the World War Z fan poster, if you will, from moviecultist.com, but with a release date for December. Beware if your Christmas stocking moves. It may still have a limb inside. Think you're on the page with all things Abraham Lincoln? Well, think again. With a release date in June this year, yes, a new Tim Burton production will present Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Essential elements: a young Abraham Lincoln, vampires and secret vampire hunter diaries given to the vampire hunter's best friend, who just happens to be, well, holy plot twist, Batman, a vampire. An adaptation of Seth Graham Smith's novel, this gig offers alternative explanations behind real-world events. So, potentially, one of the more interesting films coming in June 2012. Reboot, anyone? I have reboot fatigue, joysters. Is it really so damn hard to come up with a new idea?
Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars.
Now, back in the 1990s, Paul Verhoeven gave us Total Recall. Columbia Pictures' 2012 remake takes the Philip K. Dick short story, We Can Remember It For You Wholesale, in a completely different direction, listeners, from Verhoeven's screen adaptation. So check your multipass and all aboard for a virtual trip departing August 2012. Now, Colin Farrell takes the Schwarzenegger role, but this remake ditches the Mars and alien storylines, as well as the cheesy one-liners, replacing it all with a monochromatically grittier vision of Earth's near-future reality. Can't wait for that one. On the Box with Vasco.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
The live-action TV show in the Star Wars genre has the working title Star Wars Underworld, a working title, yet no news of production dates, but it is rumoured scripts have already been written. Story takes place in the relatively unknown 20-year period when Luke Skywalker was growing up, meaning anywhere between Attack of the Clones and New Hope.
The blood of this horse is killing me.
NBC are developing a new Dracula series, a contemporary take on the classic Bloodsucker. Expect massive changes, something like If You Can Come With Me For A Moment and Suspend Disbelief. Let's journey together to a space where Dangerous Liaisons meets the Tudors, with lots of near nudie bits covered in blood and gore. So that's the new one from NBC.
This comic book describes a sexual aberration so shocking that I couldn't mention even the scientific term on television. I think there ought to be a law against them. Tonight I'm going to show you why.
With Vasco, in the universe of the written word and all things literary, another contemporary take on an oldie but a goodie, Batman Earth One, a collaboration between DC Comics man of the moment Geoff Johns and Groovalicious artist Gary Frank. Johns is currently writing Justice League, Green Lantern and Aquaman. But I can't help but get rid of this echo that keeps hitting continuous loop when I think about Batman Earth One. Does the world really need another Batman book? Now, too old for comics, never. May 2012 and DC Comics are adding 6 new books to their existing 52 titles while simultaneously retiring 6 existing copies, being Black Hawks, Hawk and Dove, Men of War, Mr. Terrific, I've penciled in a reminder to wear a black armband on that day, OMAC, and Static Shock. Valets accepted in April for that lot, and hello new stuff, that's May 2012. Check out my Sci-Fi and Screen podcast for a listing of DC's replacement comics. Until next week, goodbye.
Welcome back. This is Sonia at the Joy Studios here in Melbourne on Bourke Street. And this indeed is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Thanks for your message there, Alistair. He's sitting in his car outside his house listening to the show. That's great. I hope that doesn't mean that you have to stay in your car. But if we're keeping you company, that's what we aim to do. And that was Vasco's debut with Vasco's Ballgazing Between the Covers and what is on the TV box coming up in genre. Now I'm going to play an interview I had with none other than Bryony Kidd, who is in Tasmania, and they are doing something called Stranger With My Face. It's basically a horror film festival made by women, not just for women, but in general, covers women's topics and things that happen when they go bump in the night. So let's have a listen to that. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. This is of the very first ever horror film festival in Tasmania that is about women in horror and made by women.
I'm pretty sure it's the first festival about women in horror. I'm not sure about horror at all any lately.
No.
Yeah, I mean, there's a festival called A Night of Horror in Sydney, which I think is officially the only horror film festival. Was a bit of a niche in Australia still, apparently.
I don't know why.
No, I
have no idea why. It just seems odd, particularly with Australia's history, if you don't mind me saying. That seems to be a deficit there. How would you describe this film festival that you're putting together, Women in Horror? How would you describe your film festival called Stranger With My Face?
Yeah, it's called the Stranger With My Face Horror Film Festival. It's kind of a strange name, but it's sort of horror that we're interested in, because actually horror is a massively broad field. I think a lot of people, when they hear the word horror, think of what you might call torture porn, or I would argue that that's not really a genre either. But in fact, you know, ghost stories are horror often, or going right back, things like the gothic melodrama about the haunted house, or the governess going to the haunted castle, all those kinds of things were horror. Frankenstein, Dracula, I mean, there's a massive range of things that you could have horror. And for me personally, I have particular interest in the more psychological side of it.
Yes.
So I really like things about identity and describing what festival's about, the themes of the shadow self and tapping into archetypes like the evil twin and the mad woman in the attic. Those are archetypes of women in horror stories that are perhaps a little bit more unusual than just a woman being presented, say, as a monster. Going into, I suppose, our own psyches rather than the more straightforward horror, which is just somebody's being killed by somebody. So we do have stuff like that in the festival as well. I'm not saying it's completely highbrow, but it's a blend of types of horror, and overall more interested in the sort of, I guess, literary tradition and horror films that are being made now by women that are really talking about their own lives and things that they find horrific in their lives. And it might be something like, there's a film called I Was a Teenage Training Werewolf.
Goodness.
And you know, that's about how she's got a lot of body hair and it won't go away, and you know, the tagline for the film, let me just get the exact quote. Sorry, the film is actually called I Was a Tranny Werewolf.
Right.
And it's an American film by Lola Rock and Roller, so that is the kind of film it is. The logline for the film is, a woman can't get rid of her body hair, so she becomes a werewolf and kills everyone in her high school. I mean, you know, who can't relate to that?
Yeah, who wouldn't want to do that?
So, you know, there's films where women are using horror ways to explore things that are meaningful to them. I think that's the sort of take on it that we're interested in.
Well, you seem to have quite a variance then, a bit of a mix there. You've got that, which sort of seems like almost like slapstick, cultish teen humour. And then you've got the more psychological, in-depth thinking woman's horror. Some slasher in there too. It's good. I mean, that's what horror is. When people say to me, oh, you mean you like Halloween? And I go, well, yeah, of course I like Halloween. Who doesn't, with Jamie Lee Curtis? Who doesn't? Used to be a very interesting franchise.
Mm.
But no, I also like the other sort of movies that are a little bit quieter, that you don't know what's going on. Like, even The Others. I mean, that's a ghost story too, and the marvellous Nicole Kidman, an Aussie. But it's actually one of the saddest horror films, you know. It's got that real poignancy, loss and grief and family. And I just thought, well, for a Hollywood movie, I find that quite quite a really good example.
And I think the reason I'm so attracted to horror films is they often do have that ability to sneak in quite subversive and interesting ideas. Mm. And in a big budget mainstream film like that, as they like, it actually has some ideas in it that are quite challenging. And somehow through the genre of horror, those things that are allowed to kind of sneak in, I think horror gets a bad rap in a lot of ways.
And ghosts. Ghost movies, you know. Like, it's time for some congratulations, actually, because yeah. I did find out that the Viscera Film Festival awarded you an award, is that right, for your film?
Yeah.
On the 13th of January. I mean, that's fantastic, considering you're talking about niche and everything, but to get that award at a festival, and it's in Vancouver, yeah?
Yeah, the Viscera Film Festival is actually based in America, but they tour women short film horror film. They promote those films all around the year and tour them in lots of different festivals around the world. And the Vancouver, people in Vancouver wanted to have their own Viscera Film Festival. So they curated, you know, some of those Viscera short films, and they had their own awards night and everything on Friday the 13th, which was very apt.
That's cool.
Yeah, and unfortunately I wasn't so over for it, but I hear that the film went down really well. I got awarded honourable mention in the Best Director category, which is fantastic. So that's great. And the film has actually done well in quite a number of horror film festivals, and it got a really fantastic review in Fangoria a while ago.
Oh, okay, great.
Also really good. Technically, I think a lot of people wouldn't regard it as a horror film at all, and it's quite a subtle sort of psychological story. Probably technically it's a gothic melodrama, but, you know, that just shows what an interesting field horror is.
Hi, Pollyanna McIntosh, you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Before about I Was a Training Werewolf.
Yes.
A fantastic film. We also have Axel Carolyn's The Last Pose, which is a really beautiful film about an old woman in a nursing home. That's Jean Marsh, who's a very well-regarded character actor. And we've got The Party's Over, which is a Spanish short film by Gigi Romero, and that's sort of a one-night stand type scenario where things go rather wrong. We've got my short film, The Room at the Top of the Stairs, which is a Tasmanian gothic melodrama / coming-of-age story. We've got Typhoon's Beast, which is a Tasmanian short film as well, a werewolf, Tasmanian werewolf story. We've got When Sally Met Frank by Victoria Waghorn, which is a really interesting take on body horror and plastic surgery. Wretched, which is by Heidi Martinuzzi and Leslie Delano, and that, I guess, the more personal sort of horror where the woman is constantly going to the bathroom throughout this meal, and you can see that she's not a very well woman, and it all sort of gets a bit icky as it goes on. Yeah, so those are some of the short films. There will be more that we haven't announced yet.
Cool.
And there will be a feature film, and I do know what that's probably going to be, but I can't say
quite
yet. But, you know, if anyone listening to this wants to come down to Hobart for this festival, Hobart is a great place to visit. Anyway, you can go to Mona, which is an incredible
fantastic
art museum.
Yeah, museum.
So come down and go to some of the festival events that we're having and see that we've tried to put something to interest everyone, you know, even people who aren't really, don't think that they're interested in horror yet will find something of interest, I think. And people who already know that they love horror films have got, you know, talked about Giallo filmmaking and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, Dario Argento.
I think there's a lot there that's going to interest people, and there are going to be more short films than a feature film that we'll be announcing as well. Yeah.
And, look, that's all great, but what's coming up for you, Bryony? I mean, you're doing all of this wonderful community-based stuff, let's face it, pulling all these people together. What about your own films?
Well, my own films, I've got a couple of feature film projects that are in development, as we say, but my main one, I suppose, is a supernatural story called Salt of the Earth, which is a Tasmanian ghost story about possession. So someone moves to a small town and she gradually sort of becomes possessed by the ghost of the old woman who used to live in the house. So that is my major project. It's very similar in style to the short film Room at the Top of the Stairs. So I deliberately made a short film in that style so I could kind of show people what I want to do as a feature film director. In the meantime, I'd love to do a bit quicker and cheaper. And the thing I'm thinking at the moment is I'm really wanting to throw together a really low-budget giallo-style thriller. And I have an idea and I have a sort of a bit of a script at this point. You know, it'll come
come down to being able to find enough people who want to work on it for free, basically, because I think, you know, it can make money from those kind of things in the end, but it's certainly not something that I would try to get funding for, or it's more like something you just go and do. But what I really need to find for that film is a cinematographer who knows about and who's interested in giallo-style filmmaking. It is quite a specific look, and it is, I think you have to have a bit of a passion for that and an understanding of it. So that's what I'm on the lookout for at the moment.
Right. So they might have to travel interstate. You might have to...
If I could find the perfect person, perhaps I could persuade them to come down to Tasmania for a couple of weeks to shoot something. If you hear of anything.
Yes. And for any of our listeners out there, certainly we've got the website. I'll put that again on the Facebook page. Hopefully we'll get some bites. And you've got your own Facebook page too for the festival that people can join?
Yeah. Well, if you just search for Stranger With My Face Horror Film Festival, it will come up. And we'd really appreciate any support that people can give. Even if, you can't come down for it. If you know people in Hobart, just hassle them and tell them about it. You know, we don't have a budget for publicity, and we're really relying on horror fans and people who support the idea to help us get the word out about it.
So it's basically Hobart is for horror, sounds to me. For those dates, 17th and 19th of February, Stranger With My Face, the horror film festival, the first of its kind. It certainly is unique. Congratulations to win your award. And the room at the top of the stairs, good one. Thanks for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Scream, Brian E. Kidd.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Oscar Hillestrom, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream. That was Bryony Kidd, and they're also having a horror script challenge. So if you are interested in entering that, you have until midnight tonight, Melbourne time. So check that out. Look, thanks for listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. We'll be back next week, and up next is Salt and Pepper, only on Joy 94.9. Thank you.
Vampires, zombies, ghouls and creatures from outer space. No, it's not Federal Parliament, it's Sci-Fi and Scream.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Only on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.